I think there's a difference between being like excited you got a point with your teammate versus staring down your opponent. And like some of these pros, I'm just like, you're doing that to get in their head. I think it's annoying, but I don't think you can be like, you can't do that. Like, okay. I think that's dumb. I don't want us to control the environment so much of pickleball.
I think there are times where it gets super annoying and I'm like, dude, you didn't need to yell at the top of your lungs. I just dumped a drop into the net. Yeah. Like, it's not like you did anything.
Yeah.
It feels childish to me, I think. It does.
What's up, guys, and welcome back to the Pickleball Connection podcast. I'm Danae.
And I'm Barrett.
And we're stoked to be hanging out with you today. We have a couple topics that we want to talk about that we found from some pickleball forums. So let's just jump right into it.
Yeah, let's jump right into it. This comes from a Facebook forum that we came across. Pretty interesting thread to read. But it says this: how do you handle a partner who gets visibly frustrated in play? So tell me, have you experienced this where you're playing with somebody that gets visibly frustrated? What's kind of your reaction? And then how do you handle something like that?
Yeah. I mean, I think everyone's probably experienced this. I think some people maybe aren't visibly frustrated, but you can even tell they're frustrated. Like, just the vibe of the court changes. Personally, for me, I like to be a very positive player. Like, I really like to be very positive to my partner. But it's hard because sometimes some people don't want that either when they're frustrated. So I guess it depends on how well you know them. I feel like if it's a stranger, it's probably like a safe bet to just like try to be positive.
What if it's your husband?
I don't know. You're kind of a wild card for me because sometimes I feel like a compliment helps. And then sometimes I feel like you just want me to like literally not say anything.
Yeah, I do think, you know, I've gotten better. I think I've grown in this area, but I think I'm competitive to a fault sometimes. So I have seen myself get visibly frustrated. I'm sure I haven't seen myself. You have seen probably me get visibly frustrated on the court. So is that like, that's hard to deal with, you would say?
I mean, yeah, I think it's hard like anytime.
It puts you in a spot where you don't really know what I need or.
That's what's hard. It's hard to guess, like, do you want me to compliment you? Do you literally not want me to bring it up? I think that's the hard part with some people.
Mm-hmm.
I guess this would be a good question. What do you feel like you need or want when you're frustrated?
I feel like I just maybe need to get better at not getting frustrated. I feel like
I need to get better and not get frustrated.
No, I mean, I obviously, you know, when it comes to any part of life, we don't always choose when we get angry. Someone cuts us off on the road. We don't think, I think I'm going to get angry. And then we get angry. Like,
it's a reaction.
There are reactionary emotional responses. You know, a lot of times I think emotions are like check engine lights on your car. They just reveal what's happening inside. And so I think I've been on a journey and I think
this is like therapy.
I know. I don't know where we're going with this, but I think. Yeah, I think that you probably have had to deal with me on the courts at times with a worse attitude than you should probably have to deal with, you know? So that's just the facts. I think when I'm down, I think it's nice to feel encouraged and maybe, yeah, there are maybe times when I don't want the encouragement that sounds like feedback. I just want like shake it off kind of encouragement, like no worries, like we got this versus the encouragement that could be interpreted as
like pity.
Yeah. Pity or criticism in the sense of like,
or like coaching or something.
Yeah. Like do this differently. Or maybe when I'm frustrated, like you've expressed this before where somebody will say like, that ball was going way out.
Oh my gosh, that's literally my pet peeve. Like, dude, I know I just freaking hit it. You're like, sorry.
I know that ball was going out. Yeah. So like, if you're already frustrated visibly that you hit an out ball and someone's like, dude, that ball was going way out.
Oh, it's my biggest pet peeve.
In your head, you're like, I know I hit an out ball. That's why I'm frustrated.
It feels,
and now you're reinforcing my frustration.
It feels passive aggressive. Like, it feels like you made a mistake and then your partner goes, dude, you just made a huge mistake.
Yeah, so maybe that's it. You know, obviously any sort of passive aggressive type thing is probably not the direction to go.
Yeah.
But yeah, have you experienced this with other people too, like that have gotten visibly frustrated?
Yeah, I've definitely played, like, I feel
anyone
like
anyone besides me, let's stop talking about
I think anytime I play with you, no, I'm just kidding. I feel like anytime I've played it, even in like a high pressure situation, like tournaments, I feel like it's inevitable because nobody plays perfect.
Mm-hmm.
It's inevitable that I feel like people get frustrated. And, you know, luckily I haven't had a detrimental.
Outside of playing with me.
Stop. I haven't had like a terrible experience where like a partner couldn't shake it off. I've definitely had, you know, a partner come up to me and be like, oh man, like, I'm so sorry. I feel like I, you know, really let us down. And I'm like, dude, honestly, it's not that deep. Like, I'm not a pro. Surprise, surprise. There's no like crazy thing on the line for me. I like to keep it low stakes and just like, you know, at the end of the day, just try to find the reasons that it's great to be out there. And I feel like when I do that with a partner, I just want to alleviate pressure, you know?
Yeah.
I think anytime someone's frustrated, it's because they feel pressure to perform a certain way. And I just think, well, if I can be one less pressure point for them, then I'm going to try to do that. So it's kind of what I do.
Yeah. To be honest, like for me, I don't know if I've really played with tons of people that I visibly
see. What do you do when I'm frustrated?
I feel like your frustration is maybe less visible. It's more like,
yeah, I don't really show
it's more internal.
Yeah.
It's kind of, but I can still tell sometimes whenever it's like you're very quiet, but like there's certain times when you get quiet and I can tell you're thinking like strategically, like, what could I do better?
Or I'm trying to say calm. It's another one. I'm like trying to say quiet to be intentionally calm.
Yeah. So I don't know. I mean, but there's probably also other times where I thought maybe you were frustrated because you were quiet and you really weren't.
Yeah.
You were just quiet. So it's harder to tell, obviously. But I know for me, I haven't played with a ton of people. I've like seen like crazy visible antics of frustration. But something that does bother me sometimes is if I'm playing, like I say, I'm playing a men's doubles game and somebody I'm playing with maybe gets frustrated. I can tell they get frustrated because I miss a shot. But they immediately try to tell me a different strategy to do. In other words, like if I miss a shot because I like sped the ball up and either they were on the counter or I sped it out or sped it, they're like, hey, let's not speed the ball up. Let's just play safe. Or maybe I'm like, I'm dinking cross court and I leave a ball up and somebody reaches in and flicks it. They're like, hey, let's not dink cross court. I'm like, it has nothing to do with my strategy.
You're like, I just missed a shot.
I did exactly strategically what I wanted to do. I just didn't execute. So I think that kind of frustrates me sometimes when people like harp in on like, you need to change the strategy when I just missed a shot. So sometimes I respond to people like, hey bro, I actually really like the setup. I just missed the shot, you know?
Yeah.
Because I actually think I don't execute.
Do you say that? Do you literally say like, sometimes, I like that strategy. I just
missed. Sometimes I will. I'll be like, yeah, bro, like to be honest, I really liked that pattern I was in. I just missed, you know? Mm-hmm. Sometimes I'll say something like that, but like, because honestly for me, I know I'm not a pro player either. You know, we play high level player, but yeah.
We're not pros.
You know,
we play high level. 5-0, 4-5.
So, but like for me, like, so like skill wise, I'm good, not excellent. You know, I'm good, not great. But strategy wise, I feel like I'm pretty freaking good. So like, I feel like I'm much better strategically. I actually feel like I'm much better coach than I am actually a player.
I actually think you're a great coach.
So I think you can be a great coach without being a great player, and you can be a great player without
being a terrible coach.
And be a terrible coach.
I mean,
obviously you have to have some level of like advanced skill to be able to coach it. But I was the same way even in baseball. Like I was a high level. I played college baseball, but I had a lot of guys come to me on my college baseball team, and they liked the feedback I gave. So like, yeah. You know, so like you can be a good, I was kind of coaching this kid on my college baseball team who went on to play professionally, and he was much better than me skill wise, but I was good at seeing and breaking down the game.
Yeah.
So anyways, kind of got off subject there, but that kind of bothers me a little bit less when people get visibly frustrated, I'm like, okay, I get it. Like you're frustrated.
Yeah.
I get frustrated too. And I kind of try to snap them out of it. Like, we're good. We're good. We got this.
So,
but when people try to coach me, like, and they harp in on the strategy, and it's just like, I miss that. So those are the things kind of get me.
Yeah, me too. I feel like, are there times where you get so frustrated where there's like nothing that your partner could do to snap you out of it? And what do you do then?
I mean, it doesn't happen a lot, but there's been a time where I literally was like, I want to go home. Do you remember that?
Yeah, I do.
So like, so that was like, honestly, me just saying like, I've tried to get my emotions under control and I don't feel like it's worth it. I feel like my ROI, my return on investment for staying is not it. I think I had a better ROI on my emotions just leaving, because honestly, that night we were playing at a court where it was like a paddle system. And so we lost, obviously, because I probably wouldn't have been emotionally upset if we won. And instead of going to put my paddle back in line to wait to play again, which probably would have been a 30-minute wait, I was like, no, that's not worth it for me. I just want to go home. And I did. And I was fine. I went home, had a great meal, you know. So, I mean, there have been times when I like will just take that approach. But so maybe that was a moment where I found personally, I don't know if I can snap out of this right now.
Yeah.
So like if I can't snap out of it, then like I can't expect someone else to snap me out of it all the time.
Yeah.
But yeah, I would say for the most part, it's just people can say whatever they want to say, but at the end of the day, it's up to you to.
Yes, I agree.
It's
really not. And I think that's probably the overarching point. If your partner's frustrated, at the end of the day, you are not powerful enough to go into their brain and switch that for them.
You can maybe you like can encourage.
Make a,
and,
yeah, you can make a good atmosphere.
But they still have to latch onto that encouragement. They still have to receive exactly. That encouragement.
Exactly. So it can't be your sole responsibility to help your partner. But I do think that you can do things in the atmosphere, you know, in your environment, in how you talk that will help.
Yeah. Hey, have you heard of the new Play More app?
No. What is it?
Basically, the Play More app is like a stress-free scheduling app for pickleballers. So I don't know. We've struggled a lot in group text trying to organize play. You'll set it up and somebody will just like the text. And I'm like, does that actually mean you're coming or not?
Yeah. And it's like, you never know how many people you have, like what rating they are. It's kind of annoying.
It can kind of just be a nightmare to try to organize groups because group texts are just not fun. So basically the Play More app lets you send out invitations. You get an RSVP list. If somebody doesn't show, there's a wait list that will actually like put somebody right into.
No way.
Yeah, it's really cool.
Dang, that's awesome. What's it called?
It's called the Play More app. So you should download it at the App Store or you can go to getplaymore.com if you want to look at it online. Okay, let's move on to the next one.
Okay, so this next one, I thought this was a really interesting post. And I'm curious to know how you respond to this. And then I'm going to read a couple of the comments. So the post is, what's the most surprising tip a coach or fellow player has given you that has actually, improved your game?
Most surprising.
Yeah, surprising tip.
I'm trying to think of surprising tip. Do you have one while I'm thinking or no?
I have a couple.
All right, you go. Maybe it'll spark something in me because I kind of have a tip, but it's not super surprising.
Here, let me read a I'll just read a comment. So this guy says, I had an old man yell at me about staying with him as we make our way to the kitchen. Best advice ever, with the worst delivery. Made me laugh. But I was like, that's a great piece of advice. Because when you separately go up with your partner, this is minus a shake and bake situation. There's a lot of gaps on the court and you're just, your team's very easy to attack and exploit. But when you move up together, you kind of move up like a wall. You are actually able to cover more of the court. So it's funny, you know, this guy said this guy had really bad delivery, but it actually was really good advice.
Right.
This is one, actually, this is one that I would say personally.
Yeah.
It's, you genuinely, you really have more time than you think.
Yeah. Yeah. Expand on that in case people don't know.
So I think of this primarily with when it comes to the kitchen line for my game personally. I think I have a tendency to short hop and like rush shots. Short hop, if you're not familiar with what that is, it's when the ball bounces and it's like really low to the ground. Like it just bounced and then you hit it. It's hitting it off the short hop. Whereas really great pros, most of the time when they're dinking, not all the time, wait for that ball to kind of rise off that hop to the apex, which is the highest point after the bounce. And that gives you just a lot more angles to work with. It's just a more offensive place to hit your dink. But it's interesting. I've always kind of heard that phrase, but it is so freaking true. You have way more time than you actually think, especially when dinking. So, yeah.
And I think part of that too is, you know, there's this kind of nuanced part of dinking where you are trying also to take balls out of the air. Right. So mm-hmm. you're trying to not just let everything bounce. If you can reach into the kitchen and take something out of the air, it's good because it gives your opponent less time to react. You can also then attack out of the air more easily. Mm-hmm. And so a lot of times people that get caught off the short hop, I think they're kind of leaning in and they realize, oh, I can't reach that ball out of the air.
Right.
So they just kind of take it off the short hop and they're leaning in. They kind of stay leaned in and they kind of take it off the short hop, and that can create errors. But advanced players, I see, you know, they understand this concept that you're talking about, is you have more time than you think, because they will literally reach in. And then once the ball's kind of, they've realized that it's out of their contact point zone, they'll actually reach in and even maybe get ready to attack a ball out of the air. And when they realize they can't, they will literally adjust when the ball's in midair and go from reaching in to stepping back off the line to create space to dink and let the ball bounce up high.
Ben Johns is a wizard at that, actually. And it's crazy because you watch them and it's like,
because you kind of, your first instinct would be to take it out of the air. And if you can't, then dink.
And you watch them and everything's very slow and methodical for the most part when they're dinking. Their swing path is like very steady. And it's funny. You look at video of you and you're like,
I need to work on my footwork.
Definitely not a pro. So do you have a tip that stands out to you, or do you want me to read a couple more?
Yeah, I guess I have one that I kind of thought of, is, and that's, you know, I think this is maybe applies to tournament play.
Okay, let's hear it.
But obviously it's helped me in rec play as well. But I think oftentimes when you're in a high pressure situation, honestly, for the longest time, I struggled in tournament settings. Like I would play below my skill level is what I would feel like in tournaments. You know, I would feel like I'm a much better player, and then I'd show up at a tournament.
You're like, what happened?
And I'm like, why am I playing competitive matches with 5-0s and winning games against 5-0s in rec play? And then I go to a tournament and I'm playing a team that feels like they're 4-0s and I'm struggling against them, right?
Yeah.
And I feel like what happens is when I'm in those high pressure situations, my mind gets into like, don't miss, don't miss, don't miss. Like I don't want to miss. And so on my thirds, especially whether I'm driving the ball, I'm like, don't hit it long, don't hit it into the net. Or I'm dropping the ball, I'm like, don't pop it up. Don't hit it. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to be so perfect
yeah.
that when I do, I can get very tight. And I think when you're tight, it becomes very, you know, disadvantageous. It becomes, yeah, is that a word? Disadvantageous?
I don't know.
But if you're listening, I can't find the word, but you know what I mean.
Oh, thank you.
Okay.
It's a word.
So I think it becomes very, you know, disadvantageous when I completely lost my train of thought.
It's disadvantageous when you're tight.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So I think where it becomes very disadvantageous is when you're tight, you start to swing slower.
Yeah.
You start to like slow down.
Like swing carefully.
Right. In your attempt to be careful, you're kind of slowing the speed of your swing down. So when you're dropping, you're getting super slow. Or when you're driving, you know, you kind of slow the hand speed down in order to not make a mistake.
Yeah.
But I feel like what I've found that helps me, a tip that I received, is in those moments, you actually want to speed your hand speed up, right? Yeah. In the moments where you feel tight, in the moments where you feel like you don't want to make a mistake, like going into a tournament game and saying like, if I miss this drive, I'm going to miss this drive with good hand speed. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to miss this drive because I'm trying to be too perfect. I'm going to let my hands go. And I think when you can create a lot of hand speed with your drive, you can have good mechanics with the rest of your body, but it's kind of this short line that you draw with your hand. And when you're driving the ball from back to front, and you want good hand speed. And so I know that's kind of thorough, but just an example, it can apply to like hitting an aggressive drop, kind of letting your hands go versus trying to be so fine and so perfect. That helped me a ton. And I think that it helped me in game situations to realize, hey, when you feel tight or when you feel like you're kind of being too perfect, mm-hmm. speed the hands up, still keep the feet and the rest of the body under control, but kind of like have some more. You've talked about it in dinking, how you kind of want this same speed,
the same speed
from back to front in your dinking motion. You don't want to be really like spastic or jerky. And so, yeah, I would say like increasing hand speed and increasing footwork when you're tight. I think that's a tip that I
love it.
I felt.
Love it.
But let us know, guys, in the comments, if there's like a surprising tip that you received that actually really like helped your game. Let us know, because I'd be curious to see what you guys have to say in the comments. And for our last segment here, it's going to be quick. I just wanted to get your thoughts because I heard this kind of come through on a different podcast that I was listening to. They were talking about celebrations in pickleball. And I know that what I was hearing in this podcast was that especially amongst the youth, you're kind of seeing this movement of like what I would call like an over celebrator. I don't know if you think that's a thing, but do you think there's like this excess point? Because we don't want pickleball to be like tennis where it's like super quiet.
Yeah.
But also like, do you think there's ever a point where celebrating like your opponent misses a serve into the net and you're like screaming at the top of your lungs? And it's not just screaming at the top of your lungs, but it's every single point, no matter what happens, if the outcome's in your favor, you're very loud, very vocal. That's on-court antics. And then there's also off-court antics too. You know, there's the celebrations from the sidelines. Like obviously tennis is a very kind of quiet, hush-hush sport. And I've seen pickleball tournaments, pro tournaments, I've seen the sections get very rowdy. So what do you think about celebration? Do you feel like there should be like some cap, or does it even bother you at all? Or does it fire you up when you're playing against somebody and they're celebrating? Like
here's the thing. So I love that you brought this up.
Tell me.
I love that you brought this up because I can go off for a second. Now, let me preface. I didn't come from tennis, but I did come from, I played basketball and I was a runner. So like in basketball, for example, you are constantly getting heckled by the crowd. Like, it's funny to me. Like, you, a school comes to your school, they play you, you guys have specific chants, you know, like they're hitting it, they're wanting to shoot a free throw. You guys are like cheering against them. Like, I don't know, to me, I'm like, that was just the culture of sports. So it was really interesting. This was maybe 2 years into me playing pickleball. I was playing this tournament against this team, and the two girls on the other side had just like, they had tennis backgrounds. And so me and my teammate were winning. And honestly, I was just stoked that we were winning. Like, so they missed a serve. I was excited because we were winning. And I was like, yeah, you know, and it wasn't like I stared them down and like looked him in the face. It was like, yeah, you know, I looked at my partner. I was like, woo, you know, like excited.
Mm-hmm. How'd you do it?
I don't know. I was probably just like, yeah, I don't know. I don't know what I did. I did some kind of cheer, whatever. It was not malicious in any way. Anyway, she comes up to me afterwards and she was like, basically chewed me out, honestly. And was like, that was so rude.
So I'm assuming she lost.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. She wouldn't have chewed you out otherwise.
Yeah, she wouldn't have chewed me out otherwise.
Sorry, go ahead.
So she chewed me out. She was like, that's so rude. Like, we don't do that. And she like kind of lectured me about how like tennis culture, you don't talk during it. And it was so funny because we ended up playing them again in the championship round. And we missed a point. And she started cheering. And she caught herself cheering. And she like stopped. And it just made me freaking laugh because I was like, dude, I don't care. Like, it ain't that deep. We are playing. To me, I grew up in this culture where I'm like, yeah, you cheer when you get a point, you know? And again, I think there's a difference between being like excited you got a point with your teammate versus staring down your opponent. And like some of these pros, I'm just like, you're doing that to get in their head.
What do you think about that though? Do you like, are you for that?
Here's the thing. Do I think I would do that? Do I think that's tasteful for me? No. Does it
ever get to a point where it's like excess, even if it's not you, like somebody else, like, does it ever?
I think if it's like profanity, and I think if it's like, you know, something like that, I think,
or
that's
like
crossing
at someone's character.
Yeah. I think that's like crossing the line, to be honest.
What about if it's not profanity? It's just, what about if it's like the frequency of it? So every single time.
It might be annoying.
Loud. It's loud, and it's regardless of,
yeah. Because
I get it after like a multiple shot rally.
Yeah,
you know, like a long rally. But I'm saying like every time miss serve, miss drop, miss.
Here's the thing. I think it's annoying, but I don't think you can be like, you can't do that. Like, okay. I think that's dumb. I don't want us to control the environment so much of pickleball where people are being crazy. Like, I even just saw a clip of one of the pros playing singles, and there was a guy in the crowd cheering for the other guy he was playing against. And so anytime this pro made a mistake, this guy in the crowd would cheer. And the pro literally, like in the middle of the match, turned to the guy in the audience and was like, shut up. You do this every time I miss a point. And it was just like unhinged. And I just sat there and I'm like, dude,
yeah, at that point, I think you got to be a little bit
chill,
more mentally strong.
Yeah.
Like, you're a pro athlete.
Like, yeah, I'm sure it's really annoying when people cheer against you, but like, you're in sports. I don't know what else to tell you. Mm-hmm. What is your thought? Because I feel like I just kind of ranted.
No, you didn't rant. Like, I that's exactly what I'm asking. You know, it's,
Do you think that that's okay?
I think there are times when, even if somebody's not using profanity or going wild, like taking shots at character, like I think there are times where it gets super annoying, and I'm like, dude, you didn't need to yell at the top of your lungs. I just dumped a drop into the net.
Yeah.
Like, it's not like you did anything.
Yeah,
you know, it's not like you're like, if you hit this plus return, and I'm on my back foot, and I like, maybe, but like, I'm talking about, like, let's say very below average return, I dump a drop into the net, or I push it wide or something. And you're like, I'm like, okay. Like that. Yeah, it does. It bothers
it's
me.
It's annoying, but would you say like that should be outlawed?
No, it shouldn't be outlawed.
Yeah.
No, it shouldn't be outlawed. I think it gets annoying. I'm like, but like, I think there is a point where I feel in my head, I'm like, I'm not like, at the end of the day, it shouldn't be outlawed, but I'm like,
it's annoying.
I'm like, come on, like you're over celebrating a little bit. Like it feels childish to me. I think it does. And that's honestly the podcast I was listening to. They were talking about children doing this. And yeah. I don't know. It's interesting because I think you obviously Annalee Waters is pretty vocal, but you look at, Ben Johns, very not vocal.
But that's also his play style. He's very stoic. He's very calm.
And I think that there are some people that maybe even them celebrating like that pumps them up. Like it makes them play better. Like they're not even doing it to get in the other person's head. They're trying to stay hyped.
Well, I was going to say, what do you do with somebody like Matt Wright, who's really chirpy? And to be honest, I think he does it because it helps his game and helps him stay pumped. And he's pretty like...
No, I'm saying like, it shouldn't be outlawed. I think, more so maybe it's just like an annoyance. Like I'm good with the chirpiness, actually. Like I think it's funny. I think it's like...
Isn't the cheering kind of like a way to chirp, basically?
No, it's just annoying. I'm like, dude, get creative. Get creative. Like don't... like I think the chirping's kind of like can be kind of fun and playful, especially if you know the people. But like the frequent high-pitched yelling, I'm just like, it's just so distasteful for me. I'm like, please do it if you made a great play. Please do it if you had it.
I'm kind of like, do it if you want to do it. Whatever.
Extended rally. I don't know. But again, I don't think it should be outlawed. I was kind of more asking you, is there a point where when it's too much? And I think what you said is if it gets personal or profanity, but other than that, open the floodgates.
I'm like, open the freaking floodgates. We're in a professional sport. If you're in a professional sport, I'm sorry, you should be able to deal with the crowd yelling.
I'm not talking about the crowd. I'm talking about the players personally
playing.
And
if you're in a professional sport, you should be able to deal with somebody cheering annoyingly. Like, I'm sorry if that really... look, it would bother me too. I'm not saying that I would be unbothered, but I'm just saying like, what do you want? People to just be silent? Like you're controlling way too much at that point in my head. Like, yeah, it's annoying. Let it be annoying. And then play your game. Do your game.
I think we're kind of getting at here though, is like, what's the culture that we want in pickleball? Cause obviously tennis has a culture. Basketball has a culture. Like if you're the other team misses a shot and it's like, just if it's a shot that ends the game, the team's going to celebrate. But it's not like when LeBron misses a shot and he's playing against KD. KD's like, LeBron misses a shot and KD's like, yeah, let's go. You know, like that just doesn't happen. Like, but you look at the NFL, like if somebody picks a ball off, like that whole defense is going crazy. They're celebrating. Yeah. Like there's a different culture in different sports. Like
I want the rowdy culture. I think it's fun.
If you look at baseball, if a pitcher strikes out the side, there's usually some emotion. Or if a batter hits a home run, sometimes there's emotion if it's like a game-winning shot, but sometimes it's very chill. But there's typically celebration when they do good things. But what I'm not talking about is you please, please celebrate when you do something good. I'm talking about what do we think about when somebody, you don't do anything good, somebody else just messes up.
I mean, in basketball, they cheer when you miss a free throw.
The fans do, not the team. I'm talking about players. I don't care, but fans can do whatever they want.
Okay.
I'm talking about the...
You don't think the players are doing... I mean...
Not loudly.
Not like loudly,
when you
right.
miss a free throw, like if it's a tight game and somebody misses a free throw, you might see someone like pump their fist. Yeah. But there's no celebration. I mean, maybe at the end of the game you can, and that's fine too. I'm talking about like first quarter, someone goes to the free throw line, somebody misses a shot, there ain't nothing said on the court. So I'm not saying it's like necessarily a bad thing. I'm just saying that every sport has a culture, and I think that we're still kind of establishing this. I am in a situation where I don't want tennis, like, I don't want it to be quiet. I don't want, like, that annoys me that girl would come up to you and be like, hey, like, you can't celebrate. I'm like, yeah, you can. I'm just like, I think that there is somewhat of a line that of like, maybe it doesn't cross into this should be outlawed, like, but it gets annoying,
It's annoying. And that's where I'm at.
Again, you have to be able to manage your emotions. Like if you're annoyed, you have to be able to put that aside and perform well.
I know,
like,
dude, I've played against so many annoying players and I'm like, whatever, I wouldn't do it that way. But
is your response ever to like, I'm going to get loud back? Like she did that, like if somebody, somebody's like being loud and like, you're not loud. but then no. they're being loud, and then like you're gonna like I'm gonna chirp back if you're chirping.
Retaliate, really? That's not my personality. In my mind, in my head, I think to myself like, "Ooh, I'm gonna like do something," but like I really don't ever retaliate. I don't know if you've ever seen me retaliate.
No. So I know if I'm playing you and I don't want you to be vocal, I just have to be vocal first. Right.
Well, I don't even think I'm really that vocal. I'm pretty chill, I feel like.
I've seen you, I'm not talking about like chirpy vocal. I'm talking about like, I've seen you like when you played the MLP.
Oh yeah. No, I chair.
You were going nuts. I thought your eyes were going to pop out of your head.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That was fun.
Yeah, that is fun. I still want to play a team tournament. I think that could bring a different level of excitement and a different level of like,
it's so fun. We have to do it.
Yeah. Anyways, but guys, let us know in the comments. Obviously, you know,
did you just air out all of our lore?
Maybe a little bit. It is what it is. But yeah, what do you guys think about celebrations on court? Let us know. Like, on court, off court, coming from the crowd.
I would be curious.
Where's the line?
I would be curious, especially if you come from playing tennis. What do you think about it? Because obviously you've experienced pickleball being a completely different culture in general, but you've already experienced the tennis culture. So I'd be curious, like, are you somebody where like, yeah, actually pickleball is way more fun this way? Or are you someone where like, no, I actually miss the tennis culture in this aspect?
All right, side note. So let's say somebody, real quick, let's say somebody is struggling to get their serve in, and then you have somebody like from the crowd, like yelling at them while they're serving, like in their backswing, like would that bother you?
Dude, I mean, that would suck. But like, I mean, what can you do? You can't be like that one dude in your tournament like, that was like, you're talking to my backswing hindrance. Like, you can't.
That, yeah. Somebody in one of my tournaments got mad because there was
a different court.
A sound from a different court affected him during his backswing.
Like, sorry, it sucks. Sucks that happened.
That is
like,
crazy.
But like, you can't do anything. In that situation, that would suck. Mm-hmm. But like,
yeah.
Sorry, you can't do anything about it.
Yeah, but there was no intention coming from the other court. I'm saying like in the crowd, there's like this intention. Anyways, let's wrap it up.
Yeah.
But let us know in the comments. It is an interesting thing to see where will pickleball be in 5 to 10 years from now in terms of the culture. And what do you guys want to see? Because I think we're contributing to it every day as pickleball is still growing.
Yeah.
But thanks for hanging out with us on today's episode. We'll see you guys in the next one.